From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of August, 2011. Thanks to all the folks that came out to Agronomy Day here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It was a great morning on the research plots that belong to the Crop Sciences Department. During the program today, we'll talk not with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, because he's out of the office, but with Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign, Illinois, about the agricultural futures markets. Matt Bennett will be here, too, to take up the cash grain market. He's with TGM. And along the way, we'll get an In My Backyard with Lisa Braltz from Urbana-Champaign on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Futures in Chicago finished lower. September contract for the soft red winter wheat at $7.07¾, down 19¾. December at $7.39¼, 18¾ lower. And the March at $7.70¼, down 17½¢. May futures $7.82¾, down 18¾. July down 18 at $7.85¼. September corn futures $6.99, 12½¢ lower. December $7.13, down 12½ in the March at $7.26, 12½¢ lower. May futures $7.30, down 12¾. July at $7.32, 12¾ lower. And next year's December, 10½¢ lower at $6.40 per bushel. Soybean futures at $13.52, down 4¾. November at $13.61 for the harvest month in the bean pit, down 5¾. January at $13.71¾, 6¢ lower. March at $13.77, down 6¼, and the May at $13.77½, 6¢ lower. July soybean 6½ lower at $13.79½, and November at $13.29¾, down 4½¢. Bean meal finished the nearby at $3.53, down $1.50. Bean oil at $55.27, 38¢ lower for the September contract. Live cattle October futures 115.40 for the day, down $2. September feeders at 133.22½, down 2.20 on the afternoon. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $81.73 a barrel, down $5.87. Ethanol at $2.77¾, 2¢ lower. Natural gas, $3.91¢, down $0.01¢. And the heating oil or diesel fuel, 9¢ lower at $2.86¼. Gold futures finished at $1,818.90 an ounce, and they were up $27.70 for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now down just about 454 points at 10,959. The dollar at 74.21, up 0.54, and the CRB index at 326.42. down 7.7 on the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area says partly sunny skies today, a high near 88 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 65, light northwest winds this evening. And then on Friday, mostly cloudy skies, a low of Friday during the day, that is, partly sunny skies, a high of 86. It'll be a low of 66 on Friday night. That's when the skies will turn cloudy. And then Saturday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. It'll be partly sunny, a high near 85 degrees. Saturday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 66. By the time we get to Sunday, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 83. Sunday night, partly cloudy, a low of 65. And on Monday, mostly sunny skies, the high near 82 degrees. On a Monday evening, partly cloudy, a low of 60. Tuesday, sunny, a high of 80. And Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low of 63. On Wednesday of next week, a chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, should be partly sunny, a high near 85 degrees. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. And we talk with ag meteorologist Pete Levitt.
Fees and services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line with us today to take a look at the agricultural futures markets from Strategic Farm Marketing right here in Champaign is Bill Mayer. Bill, it's awfully good to talk with you this afternoon. Thanks for taking the time with us. We better start with the outside markets and tell me what you see for the Dow Jones Industrial Average at this point and where it's trading, please.
Yeah, some of the outside markets have really gotten a little bit worse since we closed the grains. Right now I'm showing the Dow being down about 461 at this point, it looks like, 10920. So the energy's really falling off too. The crude oil, as you'd given earlier there, had fallen off pretty good since the grain close.
Yeah, down to $81 a barrel in the September contract, October contract in that same range, and they're off by mine, and I don't remember whether we have real times or we're delayed 20 minutes on the crudes or not, but they're still off $6.5 a barrel. That's a pretty sharp drop in the marketplace. Is there more to this drop today than there has been in the past week and a half?
Well, really, as far as reasons behind it, I don't think so. I think this is a risk-off day. I mean, it's there was some European discussion and some comments from out of Germany that questioned whether they're willing to maybe finance some of the bailouts that are needed over there and some of that. But I think overall, it was just a get me out of the risk position situation. We see that with the Dow. We see that with some of the crude oil. But we were basically in this same area. I was looking before we came on here at last Thursday, the 11th. We were closed right down kind of in the same area. So maybe a correction after we did make a pretty good comeback from those lows last Thursday to settle back down here.
And again, like one of the previous times and many of the previous times that we've watched the marketplace in New York drop sharply by 500 points, the futures in Chicago in the grains and oil seeds, while dropping, have held fairly strong in the face of such a large drop in New York, right?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say that, Todd. I think that's exactly right. The December corn stayed up there in that closing there in that 713 area, and that was a support area. I told Dave this morning I thought we could see December futures get down to $7, maybe even $6.95, possibly even in that $6.87 area, and we still could. But I was pleased to see that we held that level that we did, and soybeans really came back well and closed at that 1361 in November, and I think after yesterday's close and a second close here above 1360, that really kind of points that we should try to go up and test that top end of the range again, which is $14 or so.
So we'll hit that $14 range and see if they can punch through it, but it'll be the fifth time that they've made a run at it. Do you think there's enough fundamental reason for the beans to trade above $14?
It probably depends a lot on what happens here in the next few days or week on weather. And I think I know locally here we're just very critical. We need the rain pretty soon here on these soybeans, but I think we still have a chance to really help the beans if we can get some moisture here in the next week.
What are producers asking you about at this point most often when they talk about the marketing that they've already done and what they might want to do for corn in particular as they head into the harvest season, if anything?
Yeah, it's basically what we've been doing is just trying to go over everybody's position. I think that there's several things that you really need to kind of look at. One is priority is to get some idea where you think your crop is out here and really have some good understanding of what percentage you do have sold and where you're at on it. You got to look at your crop insurance and your marketing plan and try to see if there's some ways, that some strategies maybe to take some money out of the market on some of those sales that you've made, to maybe take some options positions or something to add to those sales. Or if you feel like you have percentage maybe too high or higher than you'd like, to come in and look for opportunities like maybe this setback that we're looking at here to come back in and cover some of those sales with some call options or something.
Can I talk to you just a bit about the cash marketing side, too, because there will be many that have nice, relatively new bins, maybe some older bins that are now empty and waiting to be filled with corn at this point. And I know it makes a difference between the time of today and the actual time that you harvest and what the spread is. But if you were to harvest today and there's not a lot of carry in the market, do you think you're better off going ahead and selling that across the scale rather than filling the bin? And if you did, would you buy back that lot in some, whether that be today or at some point as a call?
Yeah, I mean, we've almost got to make an assumption there, Todd, I think, on quality. And I think assuming that you feel your quality is okay and that you can store it without any problems on the farm, I guess that's assumption number one. If that's the case and you think you can store it, I think that you're better off probably to store it. In other words, I feel from a basis standpoint, we will see some pretty strong basis improvement from our fall beds after we get in and see what kind of crop we've got out here. Now, if you're harvesting it today, there's really still some pretty good nearby bids out here that if you could harvest it and take advantage of those,
right,
you might be better off taking it across the scale.
Right, right. But I really was thinking we're looking at a couple of weeks or 3 weeks. So I understand the difference between the two. Anything on soybeans that you want to take up before I let you go?
Well, I think soybeans are just critical here as far as the weather. We can really make the crop or not make it here in a lot of areas over the next week, and that makes them a lot more uncertain. But look at the volatility that's in the soybean market. There are some things a person can take advantage of on the options market.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Bill Mayer. He's with Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois. Comes to us on this Thursday afternoon right here on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Now here's Dave with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Morgan Stanley slashed its global growth forecast for 2011 and 12, saying the U.S. and the Eurozone were dangerously close to a recession. The bank cut its global gross domestic product growth forecast to 3.9% from 4.2% for 2011 and to 3.8% from 4.5% for 2012. The U.S. Federal Reserve Bank is taking a closer look at the U.S. units of Europe's biggest banks, concerned that Europe's debt crisis could spill into the U.S. banking system. The Fed's New York branch, which oversees U.S. units from many European banks, is asking for more information about whether the banks have reliable access to the funds needed to operate in the United States. A one-day crop tour by Top Flight through five central Illinois counties estimates yield at 148 bushels per acre. That's down from 173 bushels to the acre last year. Agriculture officials yesterday estimated that the drought in Texas has caused a record $5.2 billion in livestock and crop losses in the state since last fall. Texas cattle producers could take several years to fully recover. Texas AgriLife Extension Service drought specialist Travis Miller says, quote, "I really expect a three-year recovery in livestock when we start getting rain." The International Brotherhood of Teamsters has joined the Sierra Club in questioning the environmental consequences of allowing vehicles from south of the border to operate on U.S. highways. The two specific environmental complaints outlined by the Teamsters are that ultra-low sulfur diesel fuel is not widely available in Mexico, and that Mexican carriers will not be required to certify that they use the fuel in their vehicles in the United States. House Oversight and Government Reform Committee Chairman Daryl Issa has launched an investigation into an agreement announced in July by President Barack Obama, automakers, and others that would boost fuel economy standards for cars and light trucks through 2025. Issa says the White House may have lacked the authority to negotiate the deal. The plan would increase the average fuel economy requirements to 54.5 miles per gallon by 2025 for cars and light-duty trucks. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. He is off now towards Bloomington and then on to El Paso, Illinois, headed for the golf course, not to play golf, but to host an Ag Outlook panel this evening at the Golf Course Clubhouse in El Paso. If you have the opportunity, it's free, open to everyone who wants to drop by. I think they have a light dinner at 6 o'clock, but the meeting's at 7. You can drop by and listen to Dave and the rest of our panelists with the Will Ag Outlook panel. You can find all the details at willag.org. Speaking of the Ag Outlook panels, my thanks to the folks in Shelby County last night for hosting a panel there. We had a really good time. Next Tuesday, I'll host a panel in Decatur at the Extension Building next to the Farm Progress Show site, right next to the wind turbine there. If you want to come over to see that one, more details on Monday and Tuesday about it. It's all about the service that you get from WILL and willag.org from the University of Illinois. Check us out online and look under the calendars tab.
Support comes from Common Ground Food Co-op in Lincoln Square Mall. Community owned since 1974, Common Ground is a full-service grocer featuring organic and local foods grown right here in Illinois. More information is on their website at www.commonground.coop. And from Prairie Fruits Farm, makers of farmstead and artisan cheeses and growers of organic tree fruits and berries. This summer, Prairie Fruits holds a cheese and gelato open house on Tuesdays from 3 to 7 p.m. Information on products and activities at prairiefruits.com and on Facebook at Prairie Fruits Farm and Creamery.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Coming up next, Lisa Brotz wonders if the zenith of the local produce season can give the annual August influx of new Champaign-Urbana residents a true sense of place in her latest edition of In My Backyard.
The contrasts of a typical August in Urbana-Champaign are jarring sometimes, even if you've been a resident for many years. The beginning of the month is still summertime. It probably hasn't rained much. You might have visitors, or maybe you go somewhere to be a visitor. The food out of the gardens and at the markets is plentiful and excellent. The middle of the month is, well, still summertime. It's still hot. It still probably hasn't rained. And the food is still exceptional. But your visitors are heading out, and in some cases, you're saying goodbye to friends who are moving on, taking other opportunities, going somewhere else. When this happens, through my sadness, I always compare the food scene wherever my friends are going to what they're leaving here in Urbana-Champaign. Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, Texas. Is it better other places or just different? And as we say goodbye to our visitors and our friends who are leaving, we're saying hello to a whole lot of new people. In many cases, people who are here from places like Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, Texas, and beyond. I imagine that as they come here to go to school or to teach at the university or for some other endeavor, they're taking in our dried out grass and the acres of corn and beans that surround us, and maybe they're wondering what's going on. You know, what we eat here. Well, I'll tell you. My mother was just here visiting from Portland, Oregon. You know, Portland, land of food trucks and a quite lengthy growing season and rooftop gardens on every house. Okay, that last one, not really. Her parents, my grandparents, were farmers in upstate New York, and in my family growing up, we always had gardens and we always ate lots and lots of fresh fruits and vegetables. I know my mom appreciates good food. So when she arrived and I told her about the mostly local and definitely simple repast we were making for Saturday night, grilled sausages and brats, corn on the cob, pesto, tossed salad, peach cobbler, she sighed. I can't wait for the corn, she said. The corn, the simplest thing on the menu. Even though her now home state boasts that enviable growing season and all those food trucks, growing corn is not something they excel at. Her grandparents, you see, were sweet corn farmers in New York State. They grew corn for a cannery. Her mother, my Oma, used to put on a kettle of water to boil, go out to pick sweet corn for dinner, and run back to the house in order to capture it at its sweetest. My mother knows her way around some sweet corn, and she loved the Illinois corn. But it wasn't just that. As it turned out, her traveling companion was actually from Illinois. He used to sell sweet corn grown at the U of I test plots when he was a kid, pulling his red wagon around his neighborhood, but had lived in Portland for years as well. He was into the corn, loved the pesto, and was complimentary about everything else, but it was the peaches from southern Illinois that really got his attention. It was something, he said, about the way they held up in the baking and how the flavor that came from being cooked was exceptional. They have peaches in Oregon. They have, I was assured, very good peaches in Oregon. But there was something about these Illinois peaches that got his attention, just like the corn got my mother's. Was it a sense memory from childhood? That was probably part of it, but I also think that something could have been terroir, a French viticulture term that can also be used to describe food. It's the concept, very basically, of things tasting a certain way because of where they're grown, the climate, growing conditions, and the like, and how they're grown, inputs and methods. Our part of central Illinois features some of the best soils in the world for growing food. It stands to reason that the food we produce locally not only tastes good, it also kind of tastes like this place, unique. Something grown here won't necessarily taste the same grown somewhere else. So if you're new here, take heart. We offer many fresh foods that are beyond good enough to eat, and you new arrivals are getting here when everything is at its peak. Visit the local farmers markets in the area. Urbana-Champaign has them on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. Some farms offer on-farm sales on the other days. Smaller grocery stores are offering local produce, meat, eggs, and honey. There are several local restaurants that use local produce on their menus and create dishes that, really, wouldn't taste the same anywhere else. Many of us call other places home, but getting to know the food here, or wherever you are, is one way to work toward being able to call another place home, too. This is Lisa Braltz for In My Backyard.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the cash grain market now, Matt Bennett of TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, thanks for helping us put together a Ag Outlook meeting in Shelbyville last night. We had a great time and a really nice crowd down there. What did you find out from them that you didn't have an idea about before you sat down with them last night? Anything?
Well, I think there was a lot of good discussion last night just about what yield expectations were and maybe where some guys were on sales. And, you know, I think it was interesting. A couple guys didn't think there was a whole lot of sales made to commercial firms. But, you know, I think whenever we left there, guys learned a whole lot more about maybe what the USDA report had to say in August and what we might be looking for moving forward, you know, weather-dependent.
Weather-dependent. We started out, and we didn't get very far past Darrell Good's first comments, I think, part of the time, where he talked about an $8 mark, but that $8 mark is there only as a target, and it moves around. What do you think today after watching the market move lower?
Well, I think this is a good example of what can happen whenever you see crude oil drop $5 and, you know, $5.80 or whatever it's trading right now. It's getting hit pretty good, and then you see the Dow moving 400 or 500 points lower. It's awfully hard to sustain, you know, any sort of rally in the grain market when you've got such negative outside forces going on. So, you know, fundamentally, yeah, we're poised to make another run here, especially if we go ahead and lower the output again. You know, the yield could go down another 2, 3, 4 bushel, depending on who you talk to. And if we do that, we should spike back up. But, you know, today it's not going to happen with the kind of stuff going on with the crude oil and with the Dow Jones.
Thanks so much for being with us today, Matt.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett will be back in 2 minutes with the weather forecast.
It's National Ice Cream Pie Day. The Eskimo Pie, America's first chocolate-covered ice cream bar, was invented by Christian Kent Nelson in 1920. The inspiration was a boy making a purchase at Nelson's confectionery store. The boy started to buy an ice cream cone, but then changed his mind and instead purchased a chocolate bar. Nelson asked the boy why he did not buy both. The boy's reply, "I wanted them both, but I only have a nickel." Thus the inspiration for Nelson's creation of sticking melted chocolate to frozen ice cream. On this day in agricultural history in 1850, Henri de Balzac died, a French author. He would lock himself away during creative bursts, drinking coffee and eating only fruit and eggs. And when he finally took a break, he was known to consume huge quantities of food. One report recalls that once he consumed at one sitting 100 oysters, 12 cutlets of salt meadow mutton, a duck with turnips, 2 partridges, and a Normandy sole, not to mention the desserts, fruit, and liquors he finished up with. And in 2004, it was reported that it rained fish at about 2:30 in the afternoon in Shropshire, Western England. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. In fact, the third Thursday of the month. Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, is here to give us an agricultural weather forecast and go through what the monthly numbers look like from the National Oceanic Atmospheric Association. Good afternoon to you. What did NOAA have to say today?
Good afternoon, Todd. Well, NOAA is keeping persistence going at least through September. That is, we have above normal temperatures from about Nevada, east-southeastward across Texas, and then also in Florida. The rest of the country they list as equal chances, which means it'll probably fluctuate around normal, and that's probably okay. As far as precipitation is concerned, below normal, again, along that same band from Nevada into Texas, above normal in Florida, and equal chances elsewhere. Well, that's where I think I'm going to disagree with them a little bit. I think I'm going to be going a little wetter in the Midwest. For the three-month period, September, October, and November, they have above normal temperatures forecast from the southwest, Arizona, New Mexico, northeastward across the entire Midwest and even the upper Midwest, where they have well above normal temperatures forecast, and on eastward to New England. So on that basis, they're calling for a warm fall. If that verifies, threats of an early freeze might seem a little bit more remote than they might had they gone into a normal pattern. For precipitation, they're back to above normal now in the Dakotas and Nebraska. Equal chances the rest of the Midwest. Below normal continues down south from New Mexico to Texas to Oklahoma.
You said you disagree and you think that we might be wetter over the next, 30 days in parts of the Midwest? Where do you think that'll happen?
I'm saying that on the basis of the fact that I think it's pretty front-loaded, and that's always the more reliable part of your standard forecast, in that we're going to see some pretty good showers this next week. Most of it will be on an axis from about central or west-central Iowa, east-southeastward across northern Missouri, through southern Illinois, and down into Tennessee. And we see that for the next couple of days, so we're going to have some showers in the weekend. When you get a little bit further north, up toward I-80, the showers are going to be lighter and more scattered. And a little respite on Monday and Tuesday when the weather clears out for a while, but still with a threat of a passing thunder shower. And then we go back again into showers Thursday and Friday. As a matter of fact, you look at the whole two-week pattern, it looks pretty wet, mostly for the southern half of the Corn Belt. The northern half doesn't look as wet as it has been.
So the southern half would be the part that has been a bit more parched than the northern half. But there is that run from along the Missouri-Iowa border through western Illinois, central Illinois, east-central Illinois, and into parts of Indiana, and then turning kind of southward that's been awful dry. Will that part of the world get rainfall as well?
Yes, that's the part that's probably going to get help, especially the southern part of that. Central Illinois on into the southern half of Indiana, I think we'll see abundant moisture. Northern Missouri and southern Iowa should see plenty throughout this pattern for this week.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for taking the time with us today.
Yes, my pleasure.
Okay, that's Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Thanks for listening. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.